My sincere thanks to Kay, who you see around here. She's in charge of this building. She's not feeling too well right now. We keep her in our hearts through this time. And she made a lot of these things possible in terms of the technical, getting things ready. And I'm really thankful for that help. In the clefts of the rock, prayer is the refuge by which we flee to the Lord when the storms of life assail us. My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face, let me hear your voice. Our Lord wants to hear our voice, even to hear our prayers. He wants to see our face. He wants to see our face looking up to Him instead of at the raging billows all around us, or even at the confusion that surrounds us, or the quagmire trying to swallow us up. Jesus is looking for His reflection in our face. Experiences are sent to us as messages of His nurturing love, and our reactions reveal to Him our progress. How are we developing His countenance in the face of the confusion and the storms and the tempests? How are we developing His face, His mind? Remember how the Lord placed His hand over Moses in a cleft of a rock at Sinai. The cleft of the rock is a secure place, a safe place, a hallowed place. And that is where we are being developed. Like Moses, we too are set upon a rock and there protected. Brethren, let's join together in singing the hymn, A Wonderful Savior.
Thank you.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. At this time, we'd like to have our young people join in singing for us a song which many of us, some of us in the audience here, used to sing at camp. It's called In Times Like These. Thank you, Sister Bethany, and thank you, children. On our first trip to France to see the brethren there, we came across a castle like this, and It was very interesting to see how they rebuilt it from rubble. This is not the same castle, but you can see that the worldly wise missed the point of Christ's parable. They really believe security is in building buildings like this, and of course it's not. The only solid rock is the one the children just sang to us about, and that, of course, is the building on Christ, the solid rock. When we flee to the solid rock, we find safety, strength, peace. We come to our Heavenly Father's presence. We come in prayer through Jesus. We have fears, and when we have fears, we must pour out our fears to Him, before Him, at His throne. We must entrust them to His infinite wisdom, His infinite grace, His care. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before Him. There may be fears about a family member or perhaps our employment or maybe our lack of employment. Perhaps there's difficulties with ecclesia situations, with neighbors. Maybe there's fears about our own health, or maybe we're discouraged. Maybe about our own sin and problems that we have, our failings in our consecration. We must pour out our hearts, as the psalmist says, Psalm 62:8, pour out our hearts before Him. Please join together with me and let us sing the hymn To the Rock. The idea of a refuge has the thought of a safe, secure resting place. Before Israel left the wilderness of Sinai, the Lord told them His plan to set up a refuge system. God actually arranged for cities of refuge where one might find safety if they accidentally killed a person. We might think it quite strange for us to dwell on such a provision of the law, but we know that all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Six cities were selected conveniently. Three were on the east side of Jordan and three on the west, mind you, in Israel. There are folks who would dispute that fact today, wouldn't they? They're on both sides of the Jordan. One of them was Kiryat Arba, Hebron, which we see here, where the Cave of Machpelah is pictured. Tradition has it that the Lord even commanded that there should be signposts pointing. Did you see signposts this evening anywhere? You did. Well, that's wonderful. Pointing the way to the nearest city of refuge. Imagine you are in Israel. Oh, here comes somebody. Let's see who this is.
Well, I'm an Israelite, and I've recently entered the land of Canaan, and like my neighbors, we're building in the Promised Land, our homes, and we're clearing rocks and stones, and I was refurbishing an old well, and you know, I was working on the well, and one of the big stones, it fell.
One of those stones?
Yeah, fell into the well. And
good, we have a picture of it.
And yes, indeed, and it was a terrible picture. I heard an anguishing cry when that stone fell into the well, and I climbed down right away to see what it was, and it was terrible. A young man, he was bleeding from his head, and I tried to do something for him, but what could I do? I climbed back out of the well, I called for help, and the people tried to help, and they even ran to get his family, but we couldn't help. It was futile.
You mean something?
He died.
Oh, so that's why you're running to the city of refuge.
Yes, indeed. I'm running. I was just so shocked, and I suddenly heard a cry for revenge. It was his brother, and you know, his brother
would have killed you, I think, right then and
there.
Would have
killed me. Yeah. And he wanted vengeance. He wanted vengeance, and I didn't know what to do. I was in shock, and then a friend. I tried to explain to him it was an accident, a terrible accident.
He probably couldn't handle this.
He couldn't handle it because he was in rage. He wanted blood. He wanted me to be dead. A friend.
Is he after you right now?
Yes, he is. He's after me, and a friend of mine. He pulled me aside and said, "You have to run. You have to go to the city of refuge." And I realized that was the only answer. I had to go to the city of refuge because he wanted to kill me. He was out for vengeance.
Well, when you get there, what will you do?
Well, when I get there, I hope that the elders will give me a fair trial and that they'll allow me to stay in the city of refuge. Because if they do, you know, I'll have to stay a long time. You probably know that, don't you?
And I do. And you know, I remember that you have to wait to get out of there to the death of the high priest. That's serious.
That's very serious, but I don't have time to talk. I have to go.
When you get there, there will be those who will help you. They will.
I hope they will, but I have to go, friend. I have to go.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, there's a signpost down there that can help you on your way.
Okay.
Take this with you. It may be of some help.
Thank you, sir.
Brethren, are we not all guilty of accidental sin? Sometimes little sins, sometimes bigger ones. Were they intentional? Perhaps they were partially willful. In fact, partially willful sins, even of evil speaking, could be considered murder. We'd like to hear a short reading from our sister.
Justice has a full right to pursue us unto death because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we flee, we see finger posts which God has set for our instruction, pointing us to Christ as the only place of refuge, where it is necessary that we continue to abide.
Unresolved anger or hostility can become bitterness, and bitterness can become hatred, and the scriptures say that when we hate our brother, we've committed murder. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. It may start by just not liking him or her. Then we may think and perhaps say something, a slip of the tongue, that will hurt them. First, we must apologize, try to apologize, seek their forgiveness. Then we must flee to our refuge of prayer, our refuge of prayer to the Lord. And there we must abide, completely dependent upon the blood of our high priest who died for us. Yes, Jesus is our city of refuge. He is our high priest. We'd like to have a selection now sung by two of our brethren. Thank you. There is a portion of a reprint article which we desire to share with you at this time. We've asked our sister Ruth Millard to read for us.
Special crises in Christian life. From time to time, the child of God has experiences with others of the brethren that seem to threaten his spiritual health or even his spiritual life. The powers of darkness assail him, endeavoring to encourage the feelings and sentiments which he is strongly tempted to adopt. He has come to a crisis in his Christian experience. He must go forward or backward. He cannot stand still. The struggle is on. Will this severe trial prove a stepping stone to him nearer God, or will it be a stone of stumbling to overthrow him? He must go forward or backward. He cannot stand still. The struggle is on. This severe trial proved a stepping stone to lift him nearer to God. Will it be a stone of stumbling to overthrow him? At such crucial times, the only refuge is prayer. The Lord permits these trials to test our mettle as children of God. The adversary will endeavor to place the matter before our agitated minds in the most favorable light as regards the brother or sister. He will seek to pervert the judgment and to deceive the mind as to the real facts in the case and our flesh responds to this view of the matter. The only safe course is to refuse to entertain in the slightest degree the thoughts of bitterness trying to find lodgment in our minds and hearts, and to cry at once to the Lord for strength and help in our time of need.
Isn't it just like the adversary to pervert justice, to pervert information, to make everything seem as if the most unfavorable, the most unpleasant view of the matter should be seen? But you know, brethren, among the many pictures of refuge is also the picture of the tabernacle. When trouble and distress come upon us, it helps to keep the picture in our mind of the secret refuge in the holy. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Let us picture our new creature selves in the holy place of the tabernacle, at that incense of altar of prayer, close to the second veil. By faith, brethren, we dwell in the heavenlies. By faith, we dwell under his wings, as in the most holy. Yes, his wings of love and power protect and keep us. And now we'll have a portion read by our brother Jerry.
That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Brethren, join us together. Let us join together in singing Under His Wings. The secret place in which we dwell is the holy. But what is the shadow of the Almighty? For 40 years, it was literally a cloud in the wilderness covering Israel. And now it is God's protection for us in the wilderness of life. But what of the feathers and what of the wings? His wings are symbolic of the scriptures. The two wings of the Old and the New Testament, the wings of a great eagle which have carried the church. Brethren, how often do we take refuge under the wings of the scriptures? Do we study the scriptures daily to get the deep comfort we need for our walk? Or have the cares of life of this world's activities told us that we're just too busy? The feathers? May I suggest that these may be the soft and gentle providences of the Lord? Do we notice these little, tender, feather-like providences? Or do we only notice the dramatic ones, the providences of our life that are unusually dramatic? We'd like to be favored by a selection by two of our brethren. Excuse me. My notes say a duet. You can see my planning is not perfect. Thank you. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be past. The Lord is also like a tower of strength, a refuge fortress, the rock to which we may flee. What is the thought behind a rock? Well, it means stability, something solid, when things around us may be like quicksand. And as the song the children sang, are we building upon the rock? Perhaps a dear friend has disappointed us just when we needed them. Perhaps we have this sinking feeling, but we do not have to sink. We have Jesus, our rock. He is strong. He will not fail us. No, not ever. Think, too, of the image of a tower. A tower suggests height, elevation. The Lord is our tower. And so we can be lifted up above the trivial cares of the earth to a higher altitude. So if we have car problems, if we have lawns to cut and cars to fix and bills to pay and wash to fold, we also have the view from the tower. We have a spiritual perspective, in other words, God's perspective. Now, a fortress adds even a greater dimension to this. A fortress is a secure place and can be defended in all kinds of trouble. And the ancient kings, of course, made towers their refuge of last resort, easy to defend, difficult to attack.
O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior.
We believe that. Do we believe that? Let's sing together about our strong tower. Rock of ages, cleft for me, I am hidden, safe in thee. Hidden here from all my foes, none can harm me, though all oppose. For though justice once condemned, love did this blessed shelter send. You know, we can also consider ourselves as sheep running to safety through the arms of the Good Shepherd. Let's sing together. Safe in the arms of Jesus.
Save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me.
Jesus spoke not only of his sheep hearing his voice, but of the willingness of the good shepherd to give his life for the safety of the sheep, something a hireling would never do. With a good shepherd, we are safe not only in the sheepfold, but in the fields, on the hillsides, anywhere, everywhere. But when we need understanding, relief, strength to keep going, do we run to other solutions? Entertainment, hobbies, or otherworldly diversions? Let's be good sheep and keep close to our shepherd, close to our master. Finally, brethren, as we near the very end of the age, we are thankful for the refuge we have in Christ. For, brethren, now the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea. They're even melting sometimes before our very eyes. Yes, we even have our own personal storms, complete with heaving waves. Do we ever feel like a ship at sea in a storm? We'll be favored by another selection. We would like you to join with these sisters in the chorus of the last verse. Thank you so much. It's very pretty, and we thank you for the accompanying chorus. You sound so beautiful together. Brethren, as we go forward and think about what the world is going through at this point in our lives, we have a psalm which reveals to us how the Lord sees the troubles and the refuges. Brother Dave and Sister Marcia, please. Closer.
A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early.
The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth.
He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yes, the God of Jacob is our refuge. He is our refuge and will be in the approaching time of trouble. We can speed to his throne of grace with all our concerns when we see the storm clouds gathering and the seas crashing around us and our loved ones. We know deep in our hearts that the trouble will not last, that it has a purpose. But soon, as Jesus revealed to John, there will be no more sea. Why? Every person will rise from that sea of anarchy and will be individually blessed in the kingdom. This vision is the basis of our refuge both now and in the near future. Let's join together in singing yet one more hymn. Yes, brethren, the Lord is our refuge from the storm. He is our rock. We can flee to our city of refuge and find safety. When we have accidentally sinned, we can in our minds dwell in the secret place of the tabernacle, under what? Under the shadow of the Almighty, under those wings. He's not only our rock, but a tower in strength, lifted up above the cares and calamities of life. And the Lord is our fortress, indeed a mighty fortress, and our defense against all that would harm us. And of course, he is our good shepherd, and we are his sheep. We run to the sheepfold and into his arms. His arms are our refuge. Though the kingdoms of the earth shall be moved, brethren, into the sea, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice.
Thank you, Brother Bob, for lifting us up above the trivial cares of life, pointing us to the rock, our strong tower, our refuge, our dear Redeemer. In all of our difficulties, our trials, our lonely and troublous experiences, we know we can find comfort, and we can find strength, and we can find peace. And we appreciate the word pictures and the beautiful pictures that will help us to keep these things firmly in our minds. We would like to close this evening's Vesper service with prayer. And after Brother Bob closes with prayer, if you could remain seated for some announcements. Brother Bob.
Holy Father in heaven, we continue in your presence as we have indeed desired to do, not only during this day and during this convention, but during all our lives. Holy Father, please help us to keep our fixed minds on Thee, fixed with the purpose of having the refuge of prayer, fixed with the purpose of seeking Your forgiveness through Jesus, fixed so that we do not become the prey of the adversary, fixed so that we do not get tossed about by this world's tumult and crises. Fixed, Father, so that we can ever appreciate your face, seeking our face to look up to you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the rock. We thank you for his shepherding. We thank you that he gave his life for us. We thank you for the fact that he was willing not only to speak your words of truth, but to pray for us long before we even were. Help us remember his sacrifice, his love, his tenderness, the abiding desire of his heart to be joined together with us as a bride, that we might be to him a bride that would be a glory and not bring any bad repute. We thank you and praise you, Father, and can only pray that the words we speak, the sentiments of our hymns, our prayers, our thoughts, will glorify your name. Please, Father, forgive us for mistakes made, sins, shortcomings, any harm we may have caused others. And we pray that you would help them forgive us too. We thank you for your mercy, and we look to you with great desire in our hearts that we might see you face to face. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We would like to close this evening with the songs in the night after the announcements, and we'll need to have that up here. So, Sister Connie, could you get the manna out of the bag below the seat there? And
your book, but it's in there.
It's in there?
Yeah, it should be.
Oh, it's in here.
It should be.
It probably is. Brother David, since you're close, could you come up and read that for us at the close of the announcements as they're floating across the stage. We have love from Brother George and Sister Florence Tabak, and Christian love from Brother Wes and Sister Tony Kramer. And we want to remind the friends about the tapes. If you haven't ordered, please do so. Submit your order tonight after the service, and it'll help the brethren accurately determine the number of tapes needed. Also, many have already ordered the photo, the convention photo. If you haven't, see Brother Todd Alexander. Make sure you settle your account before you leave the convention. Brother Todd Alexander is now in the Smith dormitory, and we remind the friends of the checkout procedures. It's very important that you get the room key, the magnetic postcard to Brother Todd Alexander. And as the announcement says, he'll be in the Smith dorm room. And the Young People's Workshop, I have two announcements, and I believe the one that I don't have before me is the correct one. We would like to have that seminar directly after the Vesper service. Is that right, Brother Rick? Okay. So it's a change in time, so directly after the Vesper service, we'll have the Young People's Meeting, and here's the location. It will be